This is a podcast from the BBC.
Here is Scott Mills' daily podcast for Thursday. More truth about girls from our listener Craig. He's gone viral. One all on bangers. Who's going to take the lead today? And James, the private investigator, talks confrontation. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills here. Now, we don't want to blow our own trumpets here at Radio 1. I mean, I would if I could. I'd never leave the house. But the biggest weekend lineup has been updated, and it's massive.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
They've only gone and unleashed the machine.
Look at the state of it. It's so good.
Look at the state of
this. In a good way.
So Florence is going to close the biggest weekend in Swansea. And they've added Shawn Mendes. We have added Shawn Mendes and Demi Lovato and Anne-Marie to the lineup. I mean, you'd be buzzing if you got tickets for this right now.
I just see so many epic moments. You know, like past big weekends, there's always been like a standout moment.
Yeah.
But with this, with the amount of artists who are on this and how big they are, it feels like there's going to be a lot of those.
Sam Smith, Ed Sheeran, Craig David, Jess Glynn, George Ezra, Years and Years, Liam Payne, Clean Bandit, Anne-Marie, Taylor Swift, Florence and the Machine, 30 Seconds to Mars, Rita Ora, Camila Cabello, Shawn Mendes, Niall Horan, Jason Derulo, Demi Lovato. That's ridiculous. It's going to be great. Singleton Park, Swansea, we'll see you soon.
BBC Radio 1, Scott Mills.
Are you ready for Spy Day? It's coming up at 1:40. James, the private investigator, is back on the show. Danielle emailed me earlier saying it's her favourite thing that we do at the moment. So he's a real-life spy. He checks out people that are cheating generally. Last week, James told us about a guy and his wife thought that he was cheating. No, she was cheating.
Right.
Hang on.
I think you're right.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So basically, she had just booked a surprise party for him. But he was like, this is suspicious because she's like booking hotel rooms and like going to a high street lingerie shop.
It just all looked suspicious.
Well, suspicious. Looked really a fairy. Was just a surprise party to surprise him for his birthday. More spy stories coming up.
This is BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
He's back. It's James, the private investigator. Yes.
Hello.
All right.
Hi, guys. Nice to see you sober.
Nice to see you sober.
You haven't got a catchphrase yet, have you?
No, I think I need to get one.
No, he has got one.
That's a sign-off.
He does it at the end. Oh, it is a sign-off, yeah.
Oh, it is a kind of catchphrase. What's it, like, every day's a cheaty day or something like that?
Well, thanks for listening. You're here every week when that happens. Cheating doesn't take a day off.
Meters away from you.
We're going to get people wearing that on T-shirts before too long. Absolutely. That's the plan. Yeah.
I like it that Chris pays so much attention. Right, James, what have you got for us this week in your life as a busy but real private investigator?
Yes, so this week I thought I'd tell you about the times where some of my clients have confronted their partners after they've found out that they actually have been having an affair.
Oh, I couldn't deal with this bit because I think I'm a nice guy and I don't like seeing people argue. And actually, it is a kind of horrible circumstance when people have found out that their partner's having an affair and then have to go and confront them about it. It's not nice.
No, it's not nice.
I don't always get to see it, so it's rare. But when it does happen, it's good.
I hate confrontation, as everyone here knows and all the listeners will know. So this might get to the stage where I have to, just to warn you now, have to leave the studio because I can't even deal with the idea of it. Do you know what I mean?
Cringe warning.
I might have to put my fingers in my ears a bit. La, 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 la. So you're going to tell us today about when they found out the result, and they are.
Yes, this is when I've broken it to my client and told them that your husband slash wife is indeed having an affair. And then it's how they handle that news and how they react to it.
Because you want it to be quite good, don't you? Like, once you've done your bit and you've proved it and you've got the photos and you've got, I don't know, like recordings or whatever, like, if my partner was doing that, I would want to do it in a spectacular way. And we've not discussed this bit before, have we?
So you'd want full revenge, you mean?
Yeah, I want it to be like a mic drop moment, yeah.
Okay.
You can't just be like, oh, you're having an affair and that's it. Like, you want it to be pretty grand.
Well, I'm sure some people do act like that because it's not nice doing the confrontation thing. But you're saying there's been moments where it's been spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't always get to see them firsthand. But this occasion I'm going to tell you about, I did.
But how do you get to know about it?
They call me and they tell me and they let me know about it.
Oh, wow.
It's like a feedback service. Yeah. Do you have reviews done of you on Checkatrade and stuff like that? Or?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm going to have a look at it when I finish from here today.
Oh. Okay, so coming next on Radio 1, James tells us about the confrontations when they find out that their partner is having an affair.
BBC
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
James, the PI, is with us, and today it's all about the confrontations.
Confrontation day.
Yes, it is. So we don't normally get to hear this bit. We know that James has to spy on potential cheaters all the time, but we don't know what happens when they are having an affair and their partner confronts them, the one that's employed you as a service.
Yeah, but so there's one particular client that I had, and we followed her husband around. She thought he was having an affair. Long story short, we confirmed that he was very much having an affair. We got the photographs and videos of him together with another woman.
Right.
We presented those to the client.
Right, so we're at the stage where she knows, you've confirmed it to her, but he doesn't know that she knows.
That's right. And now I've got her reaction, which is quite spectacular. So one of the final things we have to do on this occasion was to take the tracking device off of his vehicle. Because we don't want that guy missing.
Right.
So how do you do that? Do you dress up as a dog and pretend to go for a wee against the back wheel?
No, but I have taken my dog with me a few times to take trackers off. And then I'd say, oh, a ball rod under the car.
You've got a dog. Like
spy dog.
Yes, an accomplice dog.
Yeah, her name's Roxy. She's a spy dog.
Roxy's a spy dog.
That's so good.
Have you ever fitted a camera to the dog and sent it in to...
No, but if I could train her to put trackers on cars, go underneath the car, that'd be amazing.
But does the dog do any kind of spying stuff?
She barks a lot.
No, but she doesn't, like, you've never attached a camera or some kind of microphone.
Yeah, I might do that.
Do you think Roxy knows she's a spy dog?
She very much knows. Right. She loves it. Okay. She's a diva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know where the van is.
Yeah.
So... the wife, is that right?
That's my wife, yeah.
Is saying, take me to the van, I know he's having an affair. Okay.
So her plan, which I only had sketchy details of at that time, was she had the spare key to the van, you see, from the family safe.
Yeah.
So we went to the van, I took the tracking device off, and she unlocks the van. And then she produces what I can only describe as all his worldly possessions, all his clothes, shoes, everything, and just throws it all into the back of his van.
What, so she's taken all this with her?
Yeah, she's put it all in the boot and she's taken it all with her, and she's filled up the back of his van with all his gear. And then in the passenger seat, she's left a folder, and in the folder is a copy of all the photographs that I've taken.
Oh no,
him.
I can't bear that.
Oh no,
Scott's gone.
I might have to leave.
And so the folder was left on the seat there, and then what, did you both just wait around?
Well,
I mean, you would have
just been
stood there going, what is she doing?
I wanted to wait around, but we didn't know when he was going to come back to the van. It could be the next morning. So we can only assume that he came back to the van, unlocked it, got back in, noticed on the passenger seat there was this strange document.
Oh.
And can you imagine just looking at those photographs and then realising that you had been followed for a week or more?
Right there on the passenger seat.
Yeah.
I'd love to know how you would react, Scott, if you were in that position. Not being found out. Definitely not that. But I mean the other way around. What you would do, because I think you're the kind of person that would want quite petty revenge.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Some kind of petty revenge. I don't know what.
Yeah. Like the ones that Grimmy's been talking about on Breakfast. You heard those?
Yeah.
They're really petty, but it does make you feel better, annoyingly.
Mm.
I wouldn't go too far.
No, don't break the law.
I won't break the law.
There are those services where you can get, like, a large amount of manure delivered to your front door. Because do you remember I looked into it once?
Yeah, you can do that.
I tried to get some of this on the show to deliver to a member of staff that had really, really annoyed me.
I don't know whether that is illegal.
I'm sure we talked about this because I don't think we said who it was who I was delivering to. Maybe we did. Either way, I rang a farmer and said, can I get a large amount of your manure delivered to the front door of this person? Because they'd left me out of, I think it was a Radio 1 football match.
Yeah, it was.
And for some reason hadn't picked me,
which is mad. You were livid. Yeah, we called them on air. We called them in your company.
Did we?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can also get things like glitter in the post, can't you?
You can.
Oh, yes.
And we all know what Sharon Osbourne did that time.
Oh, yeah, she did. My ex-flatmate did the glitter thing.
That's right. So you can send someone a letter and it kind of puts glitter everywhere.
Yeah.
But then if they've been having an affair, I don't know, glitter everywhere is more fabulous than it is fierce, isn't it?
It's a bit Strictly Come Dancing, isn't it? You're having an affair.
Surprise. But no, I've got loads of these stories where clients have gone to a pretty extreme length to get one up on their cheating partner.
So you've got more, have you?
I've got a few more, yeah.
I think we continue this next week.
Shall we?
If you're keen.
Let's do it.
Scott Mills.
Just read this and it's kind of blowing my mind. What do you think is, not the number one thing, but one of the biggest things that could actually kill off your relationship? Like...
just my relationship.
It'll be over, not yours, like in general.
I thought you were suggesting a feature or something. I was going to say that's...
Let's try and
let's not try and do that.
Well, no, that was never planned.
In general,
yeah.
Surely it's cheating.
Yeah, yeah, that would be up there. Like, I don't think you're ever going to get this. Try again.
I don't know. Surely, yeah, that would be it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Why? What are you saying?
Okay. Well, I'm not saying it myself. I've just read this thing. If you leave your dishes in the sink...
Nah.
Honestly, it's the number one agitator in relationships.
Is it?
Yep. People were less satisfied in the relationship and had more relationship conflict due to always being stuck with washing the dishes. Number one agitator for a couple of reasons. One, no one wants to touch old, horrible, cold, soggy leftover food. Two, and this is true, no one compliments you after doing them, do they? You know, like if you cook a delicious dinner, everyone's like, oh, this is delicious, thanks. No one goes, oh, thanks for doing the dishes. You did them really well.
That is true. So you've been lumbered with a job that you get no praise for.
Yeah, and three, like, why do I always have to do this?
So hang on, they can cheat as much as they want as long as they don't leave dishes in the sink.
I didn't say that, but I'm saying that I'm just saying watch it because I think that you might be one to leave the dishes in there.
It's just a bit of advice,
isn't
it?
I just think that you probably would leave them overnight.
You're right.
Overnight?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But before I met my girlfriend, I would let the plates pile up.
I know. I mean, I saw
it. Pile up, man.
It was like one
of those... Remember my uni place?
Oh, my God. It was like one of those programmes on Channel 5 where they have to...
I was fine living like that.
They have to dig you out. You know producer Mark, who works on this show?
He's like the opposite of
Oh
me.
My God, literally. He won't even eat in the last mouthful. It'll be sparkling clean.
Scott, he doesn't even like touching the keyboard in front of him.
I know.
It's like, he's one of those.
Watch this, if I turn the keyboard over and like tip it.
Yeah, but do it over his head. He can't deal with that.
Oh,
look,
he hates
stuff
it.
Falling out.
Oh, there's a little bit of, there's a nail there,
Bogies.
Mark. Ah, he hates it so much.
Starts retching.
Also, I like playing this game with pop stars. It's a bit like when we did pop stars with Dirty Kitchens. Who do you think would leave the dishes in the sink overnight? I know, James Bay.
Definitely.
100%.
Oh, definitely. Rag and Bone Man
definitely
leaves the dishes in the sink.
DJ Khaled, 100%.
That's a great shout. Are you saying it?
Should I say it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say it. Jess Glynn. Do your washing up now, not tomorrow. Thank you.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
Someone says, what about if the dishes need to soak overnight?
Yes, they always need to soak overnight. All
not
dishes
true
need to soak.
That
always
is a lazy person's excuse.
No.
No dishes need to soak.
Always soak them.
No, you're just putting it off till tomorrow.
This is BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
It's called Yes. Hello, Lottie.
Hello.
Hello. Hey. Where are you, please?
I am in Chichester.
Oh, Chai. Hi, Chai.
Chai,
yeah.
Yeah, just come Chai.
Right, okay. And you're doing something a bit weird this afternoon for fun.
I am. I'm on my way about to move to London to go axe throwing.
You're moving to London or going to London?
Going to London.
Like, you're suggesting she was a professional axe thrower.
Moving to London to be an axe thrower would be amazing.
It's quite medieval.
That would be a lot of fun, yeah.
Yes, before you eat a chicken leg like Henry VIII. Raw.
So what's going on there? What a random thing to go and do.
I know. I'm on my Easter holidays at the moment because I'm a teacher, so I just thought it'd be something different to go and have a go at.
Right. And what, is this to get some rage out or what is it?
My friend showed me it and I thought, yeah, why not?
You sound too nice for this activity.
Right, have you heard of this, Lottie? And this is something I mentioned to you, Chris, but I haven't. And I've actually done it before. Also in London, Lottie, you might want to put this in your itinerary as well, is the UK's first smash room. Do you know what that is?
No.
Right, sort of intrigued.
You go in, you put on, like, big overalls and gloves and, like, full-face protective headgear. And basically, you go into this room and you smash up everything in sight.
Oh, that does sound like a lot of fun.
Yes. Right, so there's loads of equipment to take your anger out on. So there's like old telephones, computer keyboards, and you just smash them up. I did something similar with last year actually with a Ukrainian pop star in in the Ukraine, where you go in and you put the full like headgear on just so you don't get injured, and you just smash plates at a wall. It was so good. So
this
good.
Sounds fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that does sound like a lot of fun.
Let's get ourselves to the smash room, Chris.
Also, because you sound secretly angry, Lottie, from what you get okay. up to, this sounds right up your street, doesn't yeah. it?
Like a secret evil person.
Yeah, right, secret rage.
After the axe, go to the smash room. Here's what I've got for you today.
What's this?
You know this.
I'm liking that.
Is this Eurovision?
No, it's not Eurovision. If it was, it would have won.
Definitely.
Pitbull and Christina Aguilera.
Where is Pitbull?
That is a good one.
Right, feel this moment.
I don't think I've ever heard this.
That's my one. There's Pit. There he is. The future,
but live for the moment. Oh, do you know I love him?
I know I love him. We need to get him back in.
I really miss him.
ASAP.
I've never missed someone as bad. You have nearly heard the whole song. Don't go for that, Lottie. Go for My True Today. Yes.
Oh.
Mm. Daniel Bedingfield, the man.
Oh,
gotta get
like
through
it.
This.
Oh, no. Oh, it's a bit different as well, isn't it?
It is a bit different. See you in the charts.
Very different Pitbull. Very different. Very different man. Yeah. Don't know what he does now.
Do you know that story?
What?
Last seen as a judge on New Zealand X Factor.
No way.
Why?
They're looking at new judges for this X Factor. Is he in for a shout then?
Probably not.
Oh, why not?
I don't know. I think he'd be good. I don't know how well he did on the New Zealand one.
But why doesn't he do any more music? What's going on? Is he just retired on money now?
Probs from that song.
That one song has sorted him out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and the one where he goes really high.
Sometimes, oh yeah, if you're not the one. That would have done
June.
It. That would have done it. Okay, what are we going to do, Lottie, before the axing?
What am I? Sorry?
Before the axe.
Before your axe, what are we going to do?
I'm going to go for a bit of Christina.
Yes!
Get advice. Ask for advice. Get money twice. I'm from the dirty, but that Chico nice. Y'all call it a moment. I call it life.
If you ran the darts, this is the music they would play.
Luckily, I don't.
I don't know where you plucked this from. I just wanna feel
this moment. Oh, no, no!
Yeah, lots of people saying robbery.
Not at all. No. It was different.
Good hearing Pitt, to be fair.
I know, darling.
Back on Radio 1.
I know, not for a while. Tom in Godalming says, it's a terrible song. Maybe the worst I've ever heard, but I can't help humming along. It's just catchy, isn't it?
Someone says in the text here, so stoked for a Pitbull summer.
Oh, right. I just saw somebody actually, you know, like when people come out of hibernation for winter, it's starting to happen.
Yeah, it is.
There's a guy called Paul who says, I think he's at Hearts Uni, perfect weather to ignore your essay and sunbathe in the garden. Listening
here we go,
to,
everyone.
Right, it's happening. It is happening. Scott Mills. Hello, Craig.
Hi, mate. How are you?
Good. All right, so are you finding that since we've been speaking to you, the numbers are going up on Twitter?
Yeah, people are looking it up.
Are they?
Yeah, really.
All right, we're going to go through some more of your tweets. Like the thing about hairpins the other day, I just didn't know that was a
thing.
Did
that really blow your mind, honestly?
Yeah, I didn't realise there are so many around the house.
There's so many everywhere, just everywhere.
How many rules did you publish in total? There was quite a lot.
The tweets was about 15 of them in total.
Right, okay. Is it going to annoy you when it all sort of fades away, or do you think you're just going to have to constantly learn about these things? Because you've got an audience now.
I don't know. It's obviously quite nice making loads of people laugh. It's a really nice feeling. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, to getting back to, like, normality. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Finding the fame a bit much?
Well, no, it's not. It's just like I can't see my actual friends that tweet me, like, because it's just in the notifications with lots of people that I don't know. So.
Oh, that's when you know you've made it, when you can't even see, you can't see your mates anymore because you've got too many retweets.
Oh, sorry.
Do you feel like you've changed?
I have not changed, no. The girls, though, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Taking it a little bit to the head.
Is it?
I'm hoping we can speak to them tomorrow. Yeah. I think that's the plan, isn't it?
We're going
to
get them on when Maya Jammer's on with us tomorrow.
That would be great because they adore Maya.
Do they?
They are like huge Maya Jammer fans.
Okay, this is perfect for tomorrow then. We'll get the girls' side of it tomorrow. For now, though, talk to me about eyebrows.
Okay, so the seventh tweet in this thread was, if my eyebrows aren't fleeky, they literally don't talk to me until I let one of the girls... pluck my eyebrows. It's mad. Girls love plucking someone else's eyebrows.
It's true. I can. Do you know what? I can actually vouch for this.
I've never been plucked by a girl.
I've never been plucked. Full stop. And then I got plucked when I started going out with my girlfriend.
How is that different to threading?
She's not done it for a while. So what is a fleeky brow? Like, if
are they supposed to be thin on boys? Can we bring in Nicola again,
Nicola,
from the show? Nicola,
the show.
What eyebrow would you
it
prefer
depends.
On me?
What, on boys?
Yeah.
Well, not too thin.
Right.
You want it to look natural.
Would you like it if I just, like, shaved a little bit?
I used to do that.
Hello!
I used to shave lines in there.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is that a fleeky brow?
I remember when you did that.
95.
Yes.
It wasn't even that long ago, though.
Or the other option is get rid of the brows altogether, and I've seen this done a lot. They just get drawn on, don't they? Apparently... I'm just being informed here that's a tattoo. You get them tattooed on.
Yeah. Are they permanent?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, some girls get it done.
Can boys do it?
Yeah.
Do you think I should get a tattooed eyebrows? What do you think?
How do you tattoo hair onto yourself? What?
It's like permanent marker.
Yeah. Well, it is, isn't it? It's just pen.
I mean, that's a cheaper way of doing it, too. So,
can we shave your eyebrows off and draw them on, Scott?
No.
And just experiment a bit.
Absolutely not.
No?
No.
Go on.
No.
Why don't we do a game?
No.
And whoever loses, right, let's do this tomorrow. Me, you and Maya, one of us will shave our eyebrows.
No.
The others can draw them on.
Absolutely not. I've got a gig in Cambrian tomorrow, Chris. What are you thinking of? Help me boot off stage. I'd like to...
Because you could do one eyebrow up, which is like, eh? Craig, so what's the crack with filling in the middle between the two brows? Is that done?
That's a mono.
Oh, that's a mono brow. Yeah, I've heard of that. Of course, mono meaning one.
Right.
As in one brow.
Yes. They're not always intentional, Chris. Like some people...
Well, it's full across.
Yeah. It's just one brow.
God, it is educational, your tweets, Craig Shapes. The discussion it needs to.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Right, Craig, back with you in a sec.
Scott Mills.
Learning so much about the females this week on our show. The truth about girls. Our listener, Craig Shapes. Producer,
hi.
DJ, hi. And also, very, very observational about the girls that he lives with. There's such a thread on Twitter, which people are loving, aren't they? Like, so many retweets. Okay, can we have the next one on your list, please, Craig Shapes?
You can. So I know the saying goes that girls find out everything, but if that's true, it's only because they are next level Instagram stalkers. Seriously, I mention a first name and after 5 minutes on Insta, they know the person's dog's name, their shoe size and their national insurance number.
That's not true. It doesn't go that far.
I don't know.
No, I mean, that was a bit of a joke.
I think I'm really good at this as well. Getting details on people quite quickly. I think you're quite good at this, Scott.
Yeah, I can find out quite quick.
Yeah, I think if someone was to mention a name, you'd suddenly have a lot of details. But there's a lot of details to hand very quickly here.
Okay, so tell me about the girls in your life. How do they go about the Instagrams?
So normally it's like somebody that maybe somebody from work or there's somebody new that started at work and they want to find out stuff about them. I don't really know why. And they'll dive straight on Instagram or one of the other ones, Facebook or Twitter or something. And they're really, really fast at getting loads of information.
Mm. It's fascinating.
Yeah, but yeah. See, what I'm saying, Craig Shapes, that I don't just think it's girls.
No.
I think that, you know, I do this as well.
I think it's everyone,
well. Yeah.
Nicola,
yeah.
I'm just not very good at it. I think that's the issue here.
Nicola, who works on the show, when was the last time you performed this?
Probably last night.
Oh, is it last night?
I love doing it. I'm not going to say. But I get myself into a hole. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at people's like sisters and brothers. I'm like, why am I doing this? But I know for a fact that producer Mark, boys do this as well.
Yeah.
Producer Mark is amazing at doing
this. He's very good. He's shown us before.
Why don't you want to say, Nicola? Was it a boy?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's I'll tell you what's interesting then. When you go on, say, a first date with someone, and you're like, oh, just tell me a bit about yourself. But inside your head, just like, I already know your second cousin's birthday.
About you.
Right.
I know what you're up to 2 weeks ago.
Right, that's how it's changed. You don't need to know anything now. It's like, you can tell me, but I already know it. Okay, next one, please, Craig.
Dressing gowns. If you haven't got a dressing gown, then you are missing out. Some days, we literally don't get out of our dressing gowns all day. The girls can go to the supermarket in dressing gowns and literally nobody cares.
See, I've got a theory about dressing gowns. I think they're dirty.
Why are they dirty?
I just think, like, people don't wash them enough. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never washed a dressing
gown. Actually, you would be a classic never wash a dressing gown.
I thought it's just one of those things that don't need washing.
And after a while, they do, and everyone knows what I mean here, they have that certain smell that I can't really describe to you, but it's a kind of slightly musty, dressing gown-y smell.
Well, it's because generally in a dressing gown, you're naked underneath, aren't you?
Or pants, yeah. But yeah, it's skin on normally quite fluffy or furry cloth, and that's going to, eventually it's going to stink.
But I don't imagine you having a towel-y sort of dressing gown. I imagine you having a silk robe.
Yes.
You enjoy the pleasurable feeling of the silk on your skin.
Does everyone here think that I've got a silk one?
Yeah.
I know it doesn't. I'm just not a fan of them. I like being comfortable at home, but I will not put my dressing gown on. I've got a kind of rule. They should be for mornings only. I think if you're in it past midday, then you need to take a long, hard look at yourself.
When are they going to invent a dressing gown with a zip? And why isn't that done?
Is that a onesie, Chris?
Well, it's not necessarily a onesie, is it? Because it's in a towel situation.
You're not wrapping a onesie round.
Yeah, I'm just saying, make the dressing gown, but with a zip.
Yeah.
It's a Dragon's Den idea.
Write it down. You said it on radio now, someone will copy you. Right, Craig, thanks once again for the insights. And tomorrow, we'll get your girls on from the house. So your housemate and your girlfriend and Maya will be here as well, all right?
That would be brilliant.
I'd like to hear from them and what they're saying. All right, I'll speak to you tomorrow.
Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
This is BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
We're back tomorrow with Maya Jammer from 1 on BBC Radio 1.